Hey folks, Mason here. I'm the host of Adventure Sports Podcast. This episode goes back a couple years ago when I talked to Sarah Schulting-Kranz, episode 484, about just turning the worst things in life into your biggest strengths and going to the outdoors for healing and bringing others with you. Sarah is a very inspiring person who's gone through a lot, and what we're going to hear is just how her life just one day totally deteriorated in a way she never could have comprehended, and how that brought up a ton of issues from her past that she had dealt with. But how she has decided, because it's a choice, to not just wallow in sorrow, but to live boldly, and to how to coach other people through life's incredibly challenging, unforeseen circumstances, and how to do that through adventure as well. She takes groups often to national parks to do amazing retreats to teach others how her story of pain has become one of strength, compassion, and all sorts of adventure, and even getting a couple Guinness World Records in the world of adventure, which we'll talk more about. And one cool thing about Sarah, if you follow her or have seen her, if she gets to the top of the mountain, she brings a pair of bright red high heel shoes with her, and she wears those at the peak, takes a picture, posts that on Instagram, and it is just a cool thing she does. But one quick warning, we do talk about rape in this story. It is part of Sarah's story. It's something she doesn't shy away from, something she talks about. So just fair warning before we jump in. But all right, without further ado, let's be inspired and hear Sarah's story. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good week so far. And today we have Sarah Schulting-Kranz. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Good, good. So you know, I'll just give a brief overview, but we can go into more detail. You guide, you speak, you do workshops, you're a mom, you run across the Grand Canyon for fun, you climb mountains. You've done a lot of interesting things, and you help empower people to get out there as well. And you do one thing in particular that a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people know you for, but that's how I found out, is you like to wear a certain type of shoe on top of mountains that you don't really see that often, which are high heels. You don't climb the mountains in those, though.
I do not climb the mountains. No, I do not. Well, everybody asks.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear about why you do that, and as we get into your story, because I've never seen it before. Let's just put it that way.
I absolutely share.
So, something I always ask: where are you coming from today?
I'm actually residing just south of LA. I live in Hermosa Beach currently. I'm originally from a small town of about 1,100 people, little farming community called Black Earth, Wisconsin. So talk about a big transformation in life, right?
Holy cow, yeah. 1,100 to, you know, the beautiful coast of California and all the adventures and where all those take you. Well, how did you get from point A to point B?
Well, so I at the time, I used to be a teacher. I lived in Wisconsin, and that was my original profession. I graduated from UW-Madison. And followed my best friend, who ended up being my husband, across the United States. And we landed in Northern California and eventually landed in Southern California. And I love the beach community. I do a lot of stand-up paddling as well. I paddle with whales and dolphins and all sorts of fun stuff. So, you know, I love the beach. And this is where I've now raised my children. I'm now as a single mom. Life is just a trip.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no one, you know, I realize that, like, no one's really skirts by without anything happening to them. You followed your husband or your best friend. I don't know if y'all were married at the time. Cross country. Mm-hmm. Loved to paddleboard. You loved the water. You taught, you said, for years. What led you into what you're doing now? Because that's a different life.
Yeah. Well, so I had, he actually was married when we came across the States and resided here. Unfortunately, when my marriage fell apart, We were married for 17 years when I found out 5 years ago that my husband at the time had been betraying me for 14 of my 17 years of marriage. And unfortunately, everything came crashing down at once. I found out, do you mind if I just dive right in? Will your listeners care? Your listeners won't care, right?
We're really open. We talked about anything.
We're all family. There you go. In one way or another, we are all family. So I found out that he was betraying me with men. I found out he was gay. And he also had multiple addictions going on at the same time. And I have three boys, three amazing boys. So that happened about 5 years ago. And then nature called to me, and I had already been, I don't know what you could call a nature junkie. Like, I love climbing, and I loved, you know, diving down into the, you know, Grand Canyon and hiking peaks and just having fun out in nature. And when that hit, nature really became, and being out in the wilderness became, my saving grace. That's where I healed and transformed my life. And, you know, I've been through the depths of hell, and I'm happier now than I've ever been. And really it was finding myself in all of these adventures, and also having clarity and meditating out in nature and really connecting with the outdoors is what, you know, really allowed me to find clarity in life. And so I took all of that. I took everything that I had learned about myself and in my process of my own healing. And at the age of 42, I went back and got my wilderness first responder certification. That was interesting. And I became a professional coach. I went back to school, and, you know, I had already had years of teaching behind me. And so I knew how to teach, and I'm a very hands-on mom to my boys. And so I knew how to guide in a way. And, I got my commercial use authorization for the Grand Canyon, and I began guiding transformational healing meditation retreats for women and men in the Grand Canyon. And I also do coaching. Like, I coach one-on-one, and I also am developing programs for people so that they can take this, all of this content, and use it themselves in nature or the wilderness, or when they're climbing their own peaks up Whitney or SoCal or wherever it is in the world. So it's touching a lot of lives, and it's changing people, and it's cool. It is just really freaking cool. So here I am. 45.
So it's going well.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's see. It's not just that it's working, but people are seeing the effects of it working. And, you know, I've been honored to guide Shawn Cheshire. She's a blind Paralympian and adventure seeker. You know, she found me, she went on one of my retreats, and she decided to start her own nonprofit and do adventures and have the blind and the sighted community come together through her adventures. And I was a guide to her doing her first adventure as the first blind female to climb the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim. And also, she smashed the men's record. We did 42 miles in 24 hours and 15 minutes. So yeah, it's changing lives. Holy and it's amazing. Cow. Yeah, I know, right?
Seriously. What was the men's record? Do you know?
The men's record was 28 hours. And so I know. And so, you know, that was a rad experience. Like, to be doing this work at the age of 45 as a woman, you know, and a mom to three kids. And like, you know, I couldn't, all that stuff that happened to me, I can't do anything but be thankful at this place in my life, because I mean, I'm here, right? I mean, it's like this, it's cool. It's really, really cool. And it's affecting change. That's the ripple effect. Like, it's creating change for other people. And there's nothing better than watching other people through their own transformation and growth and healing, because it also gives what you've been through a lot of meaning than otherwise, right? And so it's been cool.
It seems like that has led to so much. Who do you think you'd be if none of this had ever happened? Do you think you'd be content with who you are, but maybe not as effective?
That is really fascinating that you asked that question. Here is why. Because I've thought about that. You're the only person, honestly, that's ever asked me that, though. So thank you. I do not think that I would have the depth or knowledge of who I am today had I not have gone through that. And you know, you can do one of two things. You can sit in the stuff that happens to you, or you can truly dive deep and see how it can create and affect change within you and other people. I just don't think that I would know me that well. And because of that, I mean, I don't know where I would be living. I can't say. That's like, who knows? But I definitely do not think that I would be living this adventurous life that I am today. I just really doubt that. It's just really given me a lot to aspire to.
It's like you don't want those things to happen, but if any of us reflect on anything that we've done remarkable or noteworthy, a lot of times it does come out of something really negative, something that looking ahead and foresight was like, this is going to be terrible. But looking back, it's like, I can't imagine it being any other way now. So it's a hard balance to strike. You know, you don't want things to go wrong, but every time they do, someone like you especially, it's going to make you just that much more effective, that much more relatable, that much more compassionate, excited, living life more fully.
Right.
So, you know, it's like you don't want to invite trauma and, you know, destruction and negativity, but man, it's like what comes out on the other side is incredible.
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up because, I had a very big trauma happen when I was 17. And that was the start of it for me. I was raped when I was 17 and I became pregnant. And so I chose to have my son, and it was a very traumatic experience in my life because the cops wouldn't press charges. They said that there wasn't enough evidence. I had to get a restraining order. I mean, it literally turns my life upside down, and I still ended up going to college and really worked my way through that, and with the support of my family. And, you know, back then I remember thinking, someday this needs to go into a book because nobody should have to live like this. Nobody should have to feel alone. And I really, back then, learned so much about myself. And it was weird because going through that experience, I often wondered, like, why now at 17? Why? And I just knew there was something bigger. I had no idea that I would land in a marriage, and understand that my marriage was, there was a lot of amazingness to my marriage. And my husband at the time had his own, you know, his own things that he was going through, and we've worked through that, and I've forgiven him, and we're friends today. Understand, we still have our moments. You know, I will not say that it's also perfect ever. But we definitely have worked through that because we also have kids together. And the process has taught me how to be a better human being, I believe. And so it also, going through the second trauma at the age of 40, I knew kind of what to do because I had resorted back to what had happened to me at 17. And there was a moment I remember thinking, like, what the hell? Why does this stuff keep happening to me of all people? Why? And you start to wonder that. You're like, why does this stuff keep happening to me? I mean, I'm sure a ton of your listeners are thinking the same thing, you know, where it's like, why does this stuff keep happening to me? And at the same time, I remember thinking to myself, it's happening to me for a reason. And whatever that reason is, and I know a lot of people don't like that comment, but for me, for my own personal story and my own journey, I knew at the time it was happening for a reason. And what came of it was, in transforming in nature and really diving deep into who I was, I realized, oh my gosh, if I could get through all that I've gotten through and I'm happy and I'm thriving and I'm, you know, loving myself more than ever, other people can do the same thing and they need somebody to guide them through that process. And so that's where I went, oh, okay, I get it. I understand. I think I was on the ocean, like 4 miles offshore when this all came to me, and also hiking the in Sequoia National Park. Those are my two big moments I remember, like in nature, where I went, oh, I get it. I'm getting it now. Yep, I understand.
Let's take a quick message break and hear from the folks that help make this show possible. That is plenty of that for now. Let's get back into the episode. So what do you think it is? Because you said when your husband And you first started having that conflict and all that happened, you resorted to just wanting to be out in nature. What do you think it was about nature that helped you deal with it?
Well, so it's interesting. If you read Florence Williams, she has a book called The Nature Fix. And I didn't really know what it was internally, like that whole scientific side. I didn't know what was going on with my brain and all that stuff until I started reading her book. And then I was like, oh, there's actual scientific studies that if you spend 5 minutes a day in nature, you begin to change your mind shifts, your anxiety lessens, your blood pressure goes down. Like there's so many things within you that happens. But for me, it was also the somatic healing. You know, our cells hold trauma. And when you can work the trauma out within your cells, out of your cells, that's when you start to actually feel better. You know, your everything starts to feel better. And so, for me, it was really connecting to the simplicity of nature as well. You know, I would sit there and this is no joke. Like this stuff happened to me when I was going through this process. I would be out on like 4 miles offshore and whales would just come out of nowhere. There was one day where I had saw 12 whales when I was on my paddleboard.
Wow.
And for me, I was also thinking, I remember really connecting to them. I was out there alone one day, 3 miles off, the wind started kicking up. Everybody that I was with, I was with a group of women, they all went in and I was like, you know what, just give me a little bit of time to myself. I need to do a little bit of meditating and thinking. And I was in the midst of all of this and this whale came out of nowhere and it turned. There were actually two of them. The one though, flipped, turned, stopped, and his eye looked directly into mine. And I was just sitting there gazing in his eye going, oh my gosh.
Wow.
This is connection.
Yeah.
Like this is why we're here. And not only with each other, connection with each other, but connection with Earth, connection with nature, connection with, you know, whales, dolphins. I mean, I've had it all. And so don't think I'm not safe in these situations because it's not like I'm chasing them and it's not like I'm looking for it.
Right.
It just appears. And I think that that's a part of what we all forget too. Is that, you know, we keep chasing everything in life. And if we would just slow down, we'd understand that it's right in front of us, whatever it is. I mean, you know how many butterflies crossed my path today? Because I slowed down and watched.
So what do you mean by that? The things you need in life or the next step in life is in front of you rather than something you have to actively create for yourself?
Yeah, truthfully, yes. I mean, I think that there's a balance between the being and the doing, obviously, right? Like we have to do stuff in order to to take action. And on the same side of it, sometimes we're always taking action that we're not slowing enough to actually be present with the action that's happening around us. And so if we could slow down in those moments and actually be present, that's where the connection lies. That's where you start to get the hints or the things from the universe or whatever you want to call it, God, whatever. I'm a very spiritual person too. And so, you know, I mean, I live in nature and I live in all of that. So it's really being able to slow down and noticing the things that you need are right in front of you. If it's the people who you cross paths with, if you just ask the right questions, most of the time we don't ask the right questions, right? And within ourselves and from others. And you know, there's no reason that that we can't find the things that we need around us, truthfully, if you think about it, whatever it is in the moment, peace, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nature does teach you a lot. I'd say every time that I'm going through something, I kind of feel like I long for it. Like it's almost beyond me. Like I just long to be outside as an escape and as a refresher, I guess. But I just crave it, you know, like a craving for a food. And when you're out there, it's like, yeah, things just do become clear. And I like that because I don't know, today's world, you're just taught, like, if you want something, it's all up to you to go get it and to you know, there's no like serendipity to it, to where like what a lot of there's a lot of truth in that. But then, you know, you see some deer outside and they were born in this environment. What they need's in front of them. what they strive for and do. It's like a relaxed striving for the things they need. You know, the grass they eat, the shelter, mm-hmm. everything's just there to take. They just have to physically move their body to grab it, or I don't know. It's a peaceful existence.
It's interesting. The average American spends only 7% of their life outdoors.
Like outside, like literally outside?
Like literally outside. 7%. So, I mean, really? If you think about it though, like, yeah, we wake up in our home in a box. We go into our box, which is the car. We go to work in a box. We go from the box to go back into our car. We go from the box of the car to the yoga studio, which is a box. And then we come home, eat dinner in a box.
That's hilarious.
It is quite hilarious. Like, it is. It's actually quite hilarious.
It's all controlled.
It is. It's all controlled. And, you know, we build bigger boxes to live and breathe in bigger boxes. And it's like, wait a second here. When in reality, if you think about it, we're humans. Like, we're meant to be outside. We're meant to, you know, till our soil and fertilize, you know what I mean? Like, not fertilize, but you know what I mean? Like, to create our food out in the soil. And yeah, and here we are.
Just in our little boxes. Yeah, we're made out of the same things all the animals are. And, you know, they have shelters, but most of their life is spent out there in the air. And uh-huh. It's funny you say that. I saw an Onion article not long ago in the, you know, satire news, and they it was around, I think, in the fall. They said Patagonia releases new $300 commuter jacket to get you safely from your door to your car, because they were like, you don't need all this. Like, everyone has a Patagonia jacket at work, and these are made to be like on top of a mountain, and you're sitting here at the office for 10 hours a day.
That's hilarious.
So they came out with a specific commuter jacket, which I thought was hilarious, because
that's great.
It's kind of overkill, especially like we're in Denver and everyone looks like they're ready to go hiking all the time. Why are you wearing your approach shoes at work? You're not on a ridge. You know what I mean?
So can that be do you mind if that's like the little lead in into the red heels on the summit?
Well, okay. Yeah. So yeah, you know, speaking of inappropriate footwear or apparel, you carry at least one pair of red high heels when you go.
You're damn right, I do.
What the heck is that for? What are you doing? What is that for?
What is that about?
Red too.
Red. Red is passion and courage and strength and love, and like that's why I did red.
Red is bold.
It's bold. So the red heels came because, you know, I started doing this in my 40s. I decided to transition my life and completely transcend my
which
story.
Which is encouraging, you know? There's a lot
it
of
is.
People in that, you know, you weren't in your early 20s with no responsibilities. You had an established life, kids, and a ton of stuff that just has to get done.
You know, I was really damn good at throwing sushi parties and kickball tournaments. I mean, literally, like, I was a mom. I'm not joking, actually. I was the mom who threw kickball tournaments for, you know, families where there was like 150 people that would show up.
Holy
and
cow.
Sushi, oh yeah, and sushi parties for like, you know, my kids' teams, water polo teams, and we'd have like 75 people at my house, and I was really good at all that stuff, and I loved that part of my life. I don't do that anymore because I just don't have the time or the energy to do it because I'm working on my passion and purpose now. But the red heels came in because I started doing this in my young 40s, and I had a lot of people that were kind of questioning me, like, you're a woman, you're a female, and you're a mom, and what are you doing? You know, like this whole nature thing. They were like, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, you're guiding people? And I was like, yeah, I am. And it's damn cool to do. And I also was coming out of a marriage where I will be honest, I was questioned a lot. I had people that thought I knew, and I had a lot of like, how didn't you know? And even today, I still get that. Like, how did you not know? And I'm like, you know what? I fell in love with my best friend. Do you question your best friend? Really? I mean, I fell in love with the man who I just knew I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And he was not the same person he is today at all, which is fine. I mean, he needs to be who he needs to be. But, you know, it hurt. It really freaking stung. And to have people question me and question my femininity and to question my existence and to question what I knew and to question my mind and my heart and my soul sucked. And so, you know, you're questioning me as a woman. And so I just got fed up. And there was one day where I said to a friend of mine, Steve, I was hiking Mount Baldy with him. And I said, you know what? I'm taking a pair of red high heels. The idea had come to me when I was on a run because I was crying. I was just really upset about it. And I was like, you know what? Wait a second. I need a symbol for me. And if this symbol for me affects me, great. If other people get it, great. And if something happens from it, great. And so I went and told Steve, like, I'm taking a pair of red heels to the summit of Mount Baldy and we're going to take a picture. And that's going to be my picture. And then a friend of mine said, you should take a red dress too. And I went, all right. So I took a red dress and I took red heels. And I totally changed behind a rock on the summit of Mount Baldy, which is over a 10,000 foot peak, by the way.
Oh yeah.
And got a little windy up there. And I took a picture and I posted it on Facebook and I got a lot of comments. It just started going viral. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this everywhere I go. And quite frankly, I got sick of carrying the red dress. And so I went and got myself some super cool red heels. I buy them from Jessica Simpson has some really hot, sexy red heels. And then I, you know, got them from her or I'd buy them from different places. And I would just start wearing them. So I've taken my red heels on the six pack of peaks in SoCal. I've carried them up to the summit of Mount Whitney. I have carried them on the High Sierra Trail for 8 days. I've taken them up Half Dome. I've taken these things everywhere. And I mean, that's just it's for me, but it really is that those pictures are not, they're for me, but they're for every woman that is going through anything of which I'm going through, you know, anything at all, because that stung. It was a time in my life where my feelings were hurt by what was being said.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you never got out of bed again, you know, much less do everything you've done.
Well, thank you. I mean, that right there is also why I do it, because I didn't go to that place. I could have very, very easily. Don't think there weren't days where I would, you know, cry myself to sleep, or I would go literally lay in an empty bathtub and just bawl. Or I would just sit in the bathroom and just let the tears go. I mean, I was on the 4 miles offshore on my paddleboard one day, I remember, and I got so mad and I took my paddle and I just started smashing the ocean. And I was just livid. I was like, this sucks. Like, going through this sucks. And how could somebody do this to another human being? And I remember being out there, and then I, you know, my anger turned to tears, and my tears eventually dried up, and I then was like, so thankful that I didn't bust my paddle, because, you know, I had to get back in. And
right.
And I'm like, I'm sure that would have sucked. Yeah, but I mean, the emotions were definitely there, and I experienced them, and I didn't hold them in. I really let them come out while I was doing what I was doing, you know, paddling and running and climbing and adventuring and everything.
Now, one thing leads to another. You wear high heels on top of mountains.
Certainly do. Do you ever see there is a guy who does that? He wears high boots. He wears boots. And Patagonia. Did you ever see his stuff? I think it's Patagonia. It's a kind of a flip from Patagonia.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't.
You need to check him out. It's pretty humorous.
there's a guy around here that dresses up as a nun and climbs mountains, and with his face painted like a clown.
What?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And he's seen all over the place, but he's always climbing. It takes him 4 hours to do his makeup because it's really intricate. And he'll go climb a 14er or two, and it's this guy dressed up as an I don't get it. He has this whole mission behind it that I don't remember, but I've looked into it. He's an interesting guy.
You know, we have a lot of interesting characters in this world. I mean, it just makes the world that much more interesting, right? And so,
honestly, you know, it adds color. It adds it's memorable, and frankly, a lot of times it takes people going through something really out of the norm to kind of end up being out of the norm, and inspiring lots of people. And so now, one thing you do is you take people on trips What do those trips look like? Are is it geared towards telling your story and people that have gone through something similar, or is it just enjoying the outdoors? Like what do the trips look like?
Well, it's interesting. I get anybody, literally anybody and everybody. The very first one I ran was a male female, and then I just started doing only females. And now the one that I'm running in February this month, the end of the month, is a male female. And because I had so many men that were coming to me saying, we need this too. Like we've been through stuff. We need stuff. We need somebody to guide us. And I love that because I 1000% agree. So we do a lot of coaching before the retreat. So we do sessions a month out. And then we also, so you get to know everybody that is there in your group. And then we go on, it's usually a 4-night, 5-day retreat where we hike down into the bottom of the Grand Canyon, spend 2 nights in a beautiful cabin at Phantom Ranch along the creek. We do a lot of adventuring and work while we're down there. And then we hike out. And it's amazing because you get to see, I take people to all of my favorite places where I, you know, had my healing experiences or my transformative experiences. It's for people that truly the retreats are for anybody. They're for people that are ready to transform their life or ready to make a step or to figure out where they're at in life or, you know, to really connect, within themselves and with the outside world, because we have to turn our phones off, people. Like we got to turn our phones off and we have to learn how to reconnect with who we are. And, we do follow-up calls as well after the retreat, because the whole thing is I don't like people just leaving and then not integrating all of what they've learned within this, you know, 6 to 8 week process. Because remember, it's not just the retreat. It's also the process of from the beginning to the end of it. And there really is no end, because my whole thing is the people that have been in my retreats are best friends today. Even the first group that I ran 2.5, 3 years ago, whatever it was, they're best friends even today. They still talk to each other and, you know, we're on group chats together. So it's not just like, oh, here you are, you know, we're going on a retreat together. No, it's you're deep diving. I also bring in people. So we meditate when we're in there. We do meditations in different places within the Grand Canyon. I like to do them under the moonlight, under the stars. There are certain places that I like to peek. Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing. We meditate, you know, the rocks there are 6 million years old, and it's such a spiritual space that you cannot, once you actually slow down and are present with where you are, you can't, it's impossible to not change. It's impossible not to transform where you're at. Right. And so it is just such an incredible experience. And the people that come are from all over. I've got a really cool guy from Canada that's coming, a farmer from Canada that's coming on my February retreat. It's just like, it's the coolest thing. And he's like the coolest guy. I'm just like, I freaking love this work because my whole feeling is I don't bring these people together. The people that come are the people that are ready to step into this. And so whoever it is that shows up is who is meant to be there.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah. So they're just amazing. I love doing them. It's, you know, that's my passion and my purpose.
Yeah. I do these on the side as well. Similar type trips that are volunteer based. So we'll go, we actually did one last year to the Grand Canyon, and we built a bunch of like stuff for the upcoming season, picnic tables and cleaned up some trails, and we'll just work with the park for like a week and then spend the other half of the week hiking and exploring. And it's probably the most rewarding thing I've ever done that as a job, and I haven't turned it into something as consistent as you, but it's unlike anything else. You know, it's, I don't know about you, but you talk a lot about being out there alone. A lot of your experiences, you're out there just letting your emotions run wild. That's like my therapy. And mm-hmm. So I totally relate. And so it's like, I was hesitant at first to involve other people in that because it's such a reverent place. But then you bring other people who, and you see it in their eyes, like, oh my God, like this is amazing. You see them look into the Grand Canyon for the first time or discover something about themselves after 3 or 4 days that or break down or admit something. It just have these incredible moments, and there's nothing like sharing it with other people. There's nothing like it.
There is nothing like it. And that's where I think, you know, in helping other people and guiding other people, we also deep dive and guide ourselves to a different place as well. And I understand what you're saying, because for me, it was a little bit of like, huh, do I really want to do this? Because this is kind of my sacred place. And then I thought, you know what? I found my sacred place. It's time I share my sacred place and have other people be present with that sacred place for themselves. And, you know, it's just the amount of change and the transformation that I've seen in my clients' eyes has just, there's no greater blessing for me. Like there's, you know, I could leave this earth tomorrow and be like, I've done it. And, I mean, who, like that right there says something. And that's how powerful this work is. Yeah.
Let's take a quick message break and hear from the folks that help make this show possible. That is plenty of that for now. Let's get back into the episode. How do your kids view you in all this, with all the change that's happened in the last 5 years?
Oh, that's funny. How do my boys view me? Oh, gosh. My oldest, my 27-year-old, is not a nature guy at all. And so I love
him. That's funny. Actually, you know, we hear that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Lots of these people that are on this show are parents in there. I'm like, what do your family think? He's like, oh, I'm the only one in my family that does this. I'm like, seriously, dang. But hey, to each his own, I guess. But anyway.
Right? I know. You know, I my kids and I are very, very close. And my oldest is just a very brilliant tech guy. I don't understand the work he does. And I'm very proud of him. And he's very proud of me and the work that I do. We're very supportive of each other. I mean, he's 27 now, so he's on his own. My 17-year-old, I think it's been really good for my 17 and 12-year-old for them to see me in this mentorship kind of different light as well, and grow from mom into businesswoman into writer into speaker. And, you know, they actually are watching me be rebirthed at the same time that they're growing up. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's very hard, because I sometimes struggle with, you know, the pre this me who used to, you know, throw the sushi parties and the kickball tournaments, and she doesn't anymore. And at the same time, we have conversations about that. And they have loved watching this. They've loved watching me do the work that I'm doing. My 17-year-old, I think for him, it's been really good too, because he's a All-American water polo player. And so even as a junior, he's recruited to Division I schools, USC, UCLA, and Berkeley. Wow. Yeah. And so it's been really good, because it's also given them that the ability to take, I mean, it was a traumatic experience that they lived through, and to be able to take that traumatic experience, and it gave them the ability to do something with it themselves. And so for him, it was deep diving into water polo. And I, you know, guided him into that, and to, you know, take all this, Carson, and I want you to be in the pool, be present with it in the pool, like that, be the leader, be that your guide, be what you need to be there, and work through it in the water. And, my 12-year-old is a huge basketball player. And so for him, he's a little younger. He went through this at a little younger age, but it's given him the ability to become the leader on the basketball court. And he's a freaking good basketball player. So, it's given them the opportunity to find their own passion and purpose. I mean, they're young, so that will change, obviously. But at this time in their life, by also watching me and you ever hear that phrase, drinking poison, living in anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Holding on to anger. Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
No, I've never heard that. Wow.
Yeah, right. And so that's having them in my life has given me the purpose to not hold on to the anger in my life either, because it's given me the ability to step into forgiveness and to step into gratitude and to step into those pieces that I need to be able to move my own life forward. So, you know, it's it's given them that opportunity to watch me do that and for them to also learn from it and to not sit in their own anger over life. Because a lot of kids can. It's, you know, it was traumatic what they went through. Moved, we sold everything. I mean,
everything's different.
Everything is different. Nothing is the same. Absolutely nothing is the same from 5 years ago. Except they still have a mom and a dad who support them we love and support our kids to no end. And they do have two parents that respect each other. So, and we're supportive of one another. We didn't have to be that way. Did not have to be that way.
No. My parents are divorced and they get along really well. And they did not have to choose that. But my dad told me, he tells me all the time, he goes, what's stranger, hating the person that gave you children, trying to get along with them after you end things? And I was like, yeah, it is bizarre to love someone so much, to have children that you share that obviously look like both of you, and then to hate them. It's like hating half of your kids almost.
Right. And I think that for me, I mean, we could go on and on and on about this. It's like, you know, because I love having deep conversations like this. Obviously, it's my job too. But, you know, for me, it was also attaching that forgiveness to that piece of him that I also fell in love with, because I know, I truly believe that we have the good within every one of us. And for me, it was, that's how I choose to live my life. And, you know, you what you feed grows, and he fed a part of him that I don't understand, and I don't need to understand, and I won't ever fully understand because I'm not him. But I respect him regardless. And so I choose to be friends with that piece of him that I fell in love with when I was 19 years old.
That's awesome. So with everything going on, we'll wrap up with this. What do you see yourself? What do you see this becoming? What would you like it to become in the next 5-10 years, what you're doing?
Oh, you did. Just gave me the goosebumps. So I have big visions, and I will just,
throw them out there.
I've got big vision. You know, today I signed a contract already with Folio Litter Agency. I signed it 2 weeks ago, but I got to actually post it on social media today and put it out there. And I love Gabby Bernstein. I someday cannot wait to hug that woman, because it was her book that was sitting next to my computer when I was, you know, writing my proposal and going through all of this. I believe in manifesting. I believe in the universe. I actually, when I was on the High Sierra Trail for 8 days hiking, I prayed every day. I kept visualizing, like, I want my book to be coming out of women's pack someday. And I'm going to turn and I'm going to see some woman laying on a summit somewhere reading my book. And I'm going to go up to her and hug her and say, I wrote that for you. I wrote this book for you. I did this, all of this work for you, and keep creating change in your life so you can create change in others. And so I envision me taking this to the big stage. I want to be in front of thousands of people, speaking the message and sharing so that no one feels alone. I want to be in a room where there are thousands and thousands of thousands of people and we all feel connected. And I want to be, you know, it'd be awesome if that could happen outside, you know, where it's like not in a box, where I could be, you know, creating those meditations where we're under the stars all together. I mean, what a force. Like,
sounds
right?
Awesome.
And so that's where I see all of this going. And I see myself running retreats until I just can't do it anymore, you know, hiking that canyon. And I'm working on programs now, online programs that will also go through, you know, the modules and the steps and the visualizations and everything from coaching all the way through to hosting a retreat. And it's year-long programs for people that are searching for or need somebody to guide them through their healing process. So one is about transforming your life, and another is about transcending your story. And so that's what I'm working on right now with my coach, because every coach should have a coach, right?
Yes.
They should. Every coach should have a coach. We can't do this alone. We cannot do this alone. So that's what I see. I see my book like out there, way out there across the world. Can't wait.
Well, there'll be one on my desk So
thank you.
Yeah.
There's actually, I guess I didn't even mention this either, but there's a documentary being made of my life as well. And so the book, I know the book I'm hoping will be released first, and then the documentary will be released after that. So we're in the process right now of production. We've done all of the filming in the back home in my hometown, and we filmed here already as well in SoCal. And so we will be filming, I think, in the Grand Canyon in May. So, you know, my retreats, if any of your listeners want to go on.
Yes, I was going to ask, how can people get in touch and find out more about you and what you do?
Find out more. So you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Schulting Kranz. It's S-A-R-A, no H, S-C-H-U-L-T-I-N-G-K-R-A-N-Z. It's my full name. And follow me there. And then you can follow me on Facebook under the same name. And you can also find me through my website at liveboldly, B-O-L-D-L-Y coaching.com. So, and my documentary, if you want to follow the process of that, which is in production and super fun, it's, walkthroughthis.com.
Walkthroughthis.com. Cool. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. All those links.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Perfect. And, man, Sarah, thank you so much for being on and talking about this and being open about your life. I don't know if you get tired of that or if it gets to be a weight on you, but know that it's helping a lot of people deal with what they're going through. So I hope you never get too burdened with having to tell complete strangers all your crap, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a part of me, and I know that. And so, there's a lot to me, and I get that. And, I accept that, and I love that. Why not share it?
Well, it's part of the reason you're probably here talking to us, having to go through all that. And you didn't get a documentary made because, you know, didn't do anything with your whole life. You know what I mean? You did something.
Right.
You've done something remarkable and continue to.
Thank you.
In an awesome place too. Get to go take people to the Grand Canyon. That's unreal. So awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I look forward to meeting you in person. I said I give long hugs though, so be prepared.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm a tall guy in Denver with a red beard. Just keep an eye out.
I will.
Okay. All right. Well, have a good one. Thanks so much for being on. And that was an awesome story.
Thank you so much, for sure. Anytime.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.